Seasons come and seasons go. Spring, as we know, is past. Summer is here. Autumn we shall soon be entering. And then winter. Another year will soon be past. And time seems to go even faster for some of us these days than perhaps it ever used to. And then, if God spare us, and in the cycle of things, spring will come, summer may come, autumn may come, and winter may come. But the God that we worship and love, I trust this morning, is the unchanging God, and our text and our theme is found in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord thy God hath been with thee, and thou hast lacked nothing. That little phrase which seems to stand out for us this morning. So we're going to think, as God will help us by his Spirit, to consider together the theme and the subject of the faithfulness of God. Perhaps you'll forget the rest of the text, but I trust that you remember these few words. Thou hast lacked nothing. Can you say amen to that? Can you agree with that? Thou hast lacked nothing. As you look over your present condition, your present life, as you look at the past, and we know as we face the future, that promise will always be kept by the sovereign Lord. Thou hast lacked nothing. And as we think of this great theme of the faithfulness of God, it's good for us to see it in a number of ways. First of all, it reminds us of God's faithfulness. And then it gives us reassurance as we go on day by day and into the future, whatever that may hold. Thou hast lacked nothing. Nothing. Can you charge God with failing you, for letting you down? He hasn't given you everything that you and I want. Thank God for that. But he's given us everything that we need, day by day. And he will. And he will not fail his people. So the faithfulness of God is our theme. That should lead to thankfulness. There's a lot of ingratitude still in the hearts of many today. And it's a poor witness if a man or a woman professes to be a child of God and is unthankful. It's a poor witness, I feel, if a man or a woman, a young person who claims to be a Christian, cannot take these words to heart. Thou hast lacked nothing. And many of us, I trust this morning, can truly say amen to the faithfulness of our God day by day. You remember that wonderful promise, the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 8. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. And you might say, well, you're not you may not feel to be a great preacher, somebody outstanding in the front. But my dear Christian friend, what I'm seeking to do this morning for you and for me is to recharge, as it were, our batteries and to see whether we can be found in this area of witness and testimony just where God has placed you day by day and give daily testimony to the faithfulness of God. I was saying to our brother before the service this morning in the vestry, our whole country seems to be locked up in a pandemic. One moment you have the pandemic of COVID, then we had the pandemic of the excessive heat, and then we had the pandemic the other day warning us we would have to flee from the floods. And now there's this pandemic just the other day announced the whole National Health Service will crumble. Multitudes will perish. Never get into hospital. The whole country's locked up in a pandemic of fear. Now what do we do as Christians? We give testimony to the fact that our God is faithful. He won't fail us. And I would encourage you, dear friend, to use the days in which we live as an opportunity for witness. Friends, neighbors, they're asking us questions. They're watching our daily lives. What a wonderful day for us to testify to this great fact that the God that we love and worship and serve is ever faithful, ever sure. Thou hast lacked nothing. Last week I had the privilege of attending the Aberystwyth conference, and there were well over 1,000 people there. And one afternoon, it was free from any activity, and I just found my way into the university and into the art gallery, beautiful art gallery there. There was nobody else much around at all, but there was an elderly lady. She was on duty as the warden, I presume, of the art gallery, keeping an eye on us all that we wouldn't destroy or spoil the paintings. And when I finished going around the art gallery, I made my way and started speaking to her. And God gradually seemed to be working in her heart. It was a wonderful occasion. It ended up with me speaking with her for nearly an hour on the gospel, the gospel. And the last thing that she said to me, she said, "You know, I wish I had what you have." Now there are people all around us. They're hungry. They don't know for what, but you have the privilege of giving your testimony. Humbly, simply, by word and by life. And my dear friend, they are watching. They are ready to hear. Many people that we meet are ready to hear. Can we speak? Can we speak? Can we say these words? "These 40 years the Lord thy God has been with me," however old you are, and then, "thou hast lacked nothing." Nothing. Now let's think of the context of this wonderful theme, this text, the faithfulness of God. First of all, there's a threefold recognition. First of all, there's a recognition that we make of God's daily blessing. "The Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand." Thy going out, thy coming in. And Moses is charged by God to remind the people. Give recognition of God's daily blessings. You don't have to go too far in your memory. You don't have to try and bring awkward suggestions or hard questions in giving your testimony of the faithfulness of God, a recognition of God's daily blessings, his ongoing blessings. One version puts it, his continuous blessings. They're not just for a few moments. They're not just for an odd day or two. They're continuous. His blessings. His blessings. And then a recognition of God's providential dealings. I love this in the verse. "He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness." Isn't that comforting? God's providential dealings in his faithfulness. He watches day and night over us. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's aware of your problems, of your difficulties. He counts your tears. He knows you through and through. A recognition of God's providential dealing. He knoweth. Everything that comes into our lives as Christian people isn't by chance. Somebody said to me the other day, fingers crossed. I said, you don't have to do that. Don't do that. As a Christian, we don't do those things. Our times are in God's hands. He knoweth. He knoweth. He knoweth thy walking. He knows the problems that you're facing. He knows the difficulties. He knows the sorrows. He knows your sicknesses. But he's faithful through it all. His faithfulness. Thou hast lacked nothing. And then thirdly, a recognition of his unfailing presence is in this text. "These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee." And when you trace the hand of God through his people, traveling through the wilderness under the leadership of Moses these 40 years. However old we may be, we can say this morning, the Lord our God has been ever faithful. Remember God's promise to Moses in Exodus 33, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And remember Moses, as it were, was arguing with God, discussing this great promise. And Moses says to God, if your presence go not with me, don't take me a step further. But we know that God was faithful to his people, though they were unfaithful, though they failed many times in the wilderness, though they grieved him, though they quenched his spirit. Faithful, thou hast lacked nothing. A challenge to be faced, really, isn't it, for each one of us? Have we got such a testimony to give of God's daily faithfulness? I'm reminded of those words of the Lord Jesus in Luke 22 to his disciples as he sent them out to witness and to extend the kingdom. Jesus said to them, when I sent you out without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. Isn't that wonderful? They didn't grumble. They didn't begin to bring a shopping list before him. Well, Lord, you helped us a little bit there, but you failed us there. But Lord, we didn't have all that which we thought we needed. No, they lacked nothing. And we sing, don't we, so often, those wonderful words, great is thy faithfulness. Trust that we mean that. Summer, winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Thou hast lacked nothing, nothing. Oh, may the Lord remove any grumbling from us, any discontent, any murmuring. And may we be recharged this morning to go out and to witness in this world that we know a mighty God, the only true God, who is ever faithful, ever sure. As you know by now, I'm very fond of hymns, particularly some of the old hymns, and I came across these words recently by Isaac Watts. Tell of his wondrous faithfulness, and sound his power abroad. Sing the sweet praises of his grace and the performing God. I like that. I like that. He's the performing God. His faithfulness, ever faithful, ever sure. Go out and tell the people. Remind them what a great God we have. God's faithfulness is a wonderful subject for us to contemplate. Do you ever spend time at home, perhaps on your own now, meditating? It's a good thing to meditate. Spend a few hours in meditation. And one of the great themes I find a great help and joy is to meditate on this fact of God's faithfulness to me over many years when I fail him so often. It's a great theme to encourage us, to recharge us, to help us a bit, say, oh God, send me out to declare your faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. The Apostle Paul, as he writes his second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 3, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. And in the original there it reads, are not faithful. And then Paul says, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Oh, may we say that this morning, and amen. God has been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. Oh God, forgive those times of murmuring, discontent. What a poor witness for anyone who claims to be a child of God. Let's think for a moment of the vastness of his faithfulness. Many of the Psalms are written on this theme. Psalm 36, verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Have you ever tried to touch the clouds? You think you're getting near one or nearer them, you're going up in an aeroplane. Thy faithfulness is far, far greater than the clouds. Psalm 108, verse 4, for thy mercy is great above the heaven, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Matthew Henry says, God's faithfulness reaches so high that it does not change with the weather as man's does. You cannot contain, says Matthew Henry, you cannot contain the faithfulness of God, neither can you fully describe it, neither can you control it. Your only response this morning is to say, how great thou art, how great thou art. God's faithfulness cannot be removed from you. It is not temporary or of a fleeting moment. Ever faithful is he, ever sure. Psalm 119, verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. It's not limited by time. God's faithfulness is not limited by circumstances. God's faithfulness is not restricted by our doubts, or our fears, or our failures. Ever faithful, ever sure, thy faithfulness, thou hast lacked nothing. And then we might consider too something of the privilege of declaring his faithfulness. We've already touched on this already. I count it a privilege. As I said earlier on, dear friend, you might say, well, I stumble, I fail, I'm not a good preacher, I'm not a good person. My dear friend, put away all those excuses. God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. God has given you a tongue. God has given you a home. God has given you daily blessings. God has given to you a measure of health and strength. I know that life is difficult. We know the Christian faces problems and sorrows of many kinds. But oh, the privilege of declaring his faithfulness. The psalmist says in Psalm 40 and verse 10, I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. So you have a duty. Yes, you do. You have a responsibility to declare, simply as it may be, no great highfalutin language necessary, no degree necessary after your name. The privilege of declaring. You've got a tongue. You use it to the glory of God. That wonderful hymn of Dudley Smith, tell out my soul. It's a lovely hymn, isn't it? Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. And then one of my favorite psalms, and brings back many memories, is Psalm 66, verse 16. I've mentioned it, I think, many times. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I don't think I told you the story of that general in the British Army that I knew, and soon after his conversion, we had the privilege of meeting together. And he was sharing with me something of his his faith, new faith. It was exciting, it was thrilling to him. And I remember him at a meeting giving this testimony. I'd asked him to speak what God had done for him. He used that text, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul." You and I have that privilege to go out and declare privilege of God's faithfulness. It's not a difficult subject. We're able to give testimony how God has blessed you and helped you, how God has forgiven you, how God has upheld you. You remember the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Why is it necessary to declare this faithfulness of God in today's age? Why? Well, we live in an age, don't we, of dissatisfaction. Oh, the murmuring and the complaining. Many around us. Murmuring, discontent. But in such times as these, it's an even greater privilege to witness as a Christian to those people who murmur and complain, and pray that God will deliver you from that spirit. There can be nothing more unhelpful, I might say nothing more unlovely, than to see someone who claims to be a Christian who is discontent and murmuring and grumbling. "Thou hast lacked nothing. Begin to count your blessings one by one, and you'll be surprised what God has done." The psalmist says in Psalm 45 and verse 1, "My heart is inditing a good matter." What's he thinking about? We don't know, but it was something deeply spiritual and something that was helping him. "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." I want to spread that news. I want to extend that message because it's so wonderful to me and in me and for me. What was the subject of the matter of the psalmist? Well, he says very briefly, touching the King. My God, my Savior, my Redeemer. His character, his being, his nature, his uniqueness, his faithfulness. You can declare that to your neighbor beginning tomorrow in a simple way. Who knows then if thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God will honor such who make much of his faithfulness. God will give all needed strength and grace to you in that ministry. And God will finally reward you for your faithfulness in declaring his faithfulness. So we thought of the vastness of this faithfulness, the privilege of declaring his faithfulness, and thirdly, we might think for a moment on the benefits of declaring his faithfulness. It sounds awful, but it's sad when people say, "What do I get out of it?" Well, a Christian should never think like that, but in a way we do, don't we? We do. What are the benefits of declaring God's faithfulness, you might say? Well, the psalmist again in Psalm 92 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness, thy faithfulness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." It does the psalmist good, it extols the name of our God, it spreads the gospel faith. Psalm 89, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." So this isn't just some little thought that I've thought to bring to you, it's scriptural. It's found in the Word of God. We're being encouraged the benefits of declaring God's faithfulness. Showing forth, declaring, to exhibit, might I say in a right way, to show off. We don't normally like that thought or phrase, but it's a good thing to show off the faithfulness of God in your life, in your experience, in your family. It is both good and delightful, because from it there are certain benefits. It glorifies God. That's the first great benefit, isn't it? You don't want to be able to give a testimony to glorify yourself. You want to be humbled. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will pick you up. He will use you. It glorifies God. And we can say, not unto us. Not unto us. It's not due to the way that we've handled our finances. It's not due to the way that we brought up our family that we're faithful. No, 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 Lord. Keep us humble. It glorifies God. And that should be our supreme desire and aim. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. And the response from the psalmist, the Lord has done great things for us. You remember in the gospel record, in Mark's gospel, chapter 2, the healing of the sick of the palsy. And you remember the people's response, insomuch that they were all amazed, and they glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen anything like this before. So, beloved, as we start a new week, as long as our lives may yet last, let it be our joy and our privilege and our delight to always be speaking cheerfully and gladly and boldly about the faithfulness of God, so that those that we meet may be able to say, we've never heard anything like this before. We want to know a little bit more. Can you tell us a little bit more? You remember the widow of Nain's son in Luke 7, raised to life. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. In Acts 4, Peter and John on trial, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Their hearts were bubbling over. Children used to sing on the beach missions, bubbling over, my heart's full and bubbling over since the Lord saved me. I'm as happy as can be. My heart's full and bubbling over. You might say, well, I don't sing those sorts of songs now. Well, maybe we have to start in a way. Giving testimony, gladly and joyfully, what the Lord has done for us. He's never failed us. We've lacked nothing. Yes, times have been hard. Yes, bills have been big and we've wondered how we're going to pay them. Yes, ill health has come. Of course it's come. But we've lacked nothing. He's been ever faithful, ever sure. It enhances the Christian faith. Think about that for a moment. As you and I go through our daily lives, it enhances, it heightens, it intensifies, it uplifts the Christian faith. When a humble believer speaks and lives gladly with this great theme burning in his heart, not by anything which we do, but what it is in and of itself, God's faithfulness, that's it. As we testify to his faithfulness by the mighty working of the Holy Spirit, others will be drawn. Others will be drawn. Did you hear that? Others will be drawn by a strong, compulsive power to ask you the reason of the hope. What is it that makes you different in this road, in this street, in this apartment, in this flat? There's something uniquely different about you. What is it? I want to know. I want to know. Remember Paul's charge to the Ephesian elders, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify, to affirm, to declare the gospel of the grace of God. in Acts 28, Paul preaching at Rome. There came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God from morning till evening. What did he talk about all those times? Well, in his theme, in his matter, in his conversation, there must have been the times that Paul would speak of God's faithfulness, when Paul was being beaten, when Paul was being thrown into prison. God's faithfulness, ever faithful, ever sure. It glorifies God when you speak like that, when you live like that. It enhances, heightens, enlarges the Christian faith. And then thirdly and lastly, I believe it invigorates the believer's life. I think we've already in some way touched perhaps upon that. It invigorates, it makes strong. You say, I feel so weak, I feel so unworthy. We'll start declaring this great theme. Just simply begin to tell people, God has always been faithful to me. God has blessed me. God has never failed me. Thou hast lacked nothing. It invigorates the believer's life. It draws us away from our own self. One hymn writer puts it like this, this cruel self, oh how it strives and works within my breast to come between me and my God and keep me back from rest. Are you self-centered? Too much self-centered as a Christian? You need to get out of that by God's help. And by God's grace, no medical tonic will help you. No counseling will help you. What will help you is to think much about the faithfulness of God. You have lacked nothing. Use it. It'll do you good. It'll do others good. Paul could speak about it. His thorn in the flesh. My grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul could say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. How weak are you this morning? Spiritually. How strong are you? Go out with this great theme burning in your heart. You say, I find it difficult. I couldn't prepare a sermon. I'm not asking you to. I'm asking you, dear Christian friend, that you might be able, simply, tenderly, lovingly, to speak this new week to someone perhaps you've never spoken to of the Saviour before. Lean over the fence and chat to your neighbour and tell them, I want to tell you about someone who's ever faithful, ever sure. I've lacked nothing. Every need has been met. Every prayer answered in God's way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. John Calvin gives us a lovely closing thought. And John Calvin says, God is always like himself, ever faithful, ever sure. I think we could all remember that, couldn't we? Sometimes we shy away from the thought of reading John Calvin. But here's a little saying that we could learn by heart. God is always like himself. Ever faithful. Ever faithful. Thou hast lacked nothing. Ever sure. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So may the Lord give us all strength and help. It's not easy to witness for him. I know some of you might say, well, I'm shy and I'm reserved. But dear friend, surely, 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 in a simple way, we can speak of the fact that God is faithful. And we speak out of experience. And it does the kingdom of God good, and it does our Saviour's name a to be uplifted, and we shall find it will do us good, invigorates us, when by God's help and grace we can witness to others. So shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee again this morning for thy precious word. Oh God, some of us can look back over many, many years, and our testimony is that God has always been faithful. We have not. We have failed him. But we thank thee, he has never failed us. And we thank thee again that we have this wonderful matter, subject, to share with others. And we pray that we will be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, as his name and his kingdom may be extended through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.